This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcons tight end, and you're listening to TNT, Thursday Night Tailgate. Brace yourself for the explosion.
All right, now back with us and making his fifth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Jets defensive back Victor Green. Let me remind you a little bit about Victor's background. He's from Americus, Georgia, which is in the southwest part of the state. And for those of you that don't know about Americus, it's certainly a hotbed of football talent. A couple of our regular guests, former Rams Pro Bowl guard Kent Hill and head coach Dan Reeves are from there, and that's just to name a few. They've had so many talented football players come out of Americus and play in the NFL. It's unbelievable. Victor started his college football career at Copiah Lynch Community College, where he was twice named to the Gridiron All-American team. From there, he went on to attend the University of Akron, where he earned 2 degrees, one in criminal justice and another in political science. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the New York Jets in 1993, played safety in the NFL from 93 to 2003 with the Jets, Patriots, and Saints. He led the NFL in tackles in back-to-back seasons in 95 and 96. In fact, in 96, he set a Jets record with 20 tackles in a game against the Buffalo Bills. Over the course of his career, he had 961 tackles, 25 interceptions, recovered 17 fumbles, forced 9 of them, had 7 sacks, and he scored 3 touchdowns. In 2003, he was named to the Jets all-time team. He was also named the best strong safety in Jets history. And if you ask me, he's the standard by which all Jets safeties are going to be measured from here going out. And we are very honored he's back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Victor, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Victor, I wanted to start off our time with you, and I got to get your thoughts on the Jets. How do you feel about the direction the Jets are going in? Obviously losing Sam Darnold didn't help things, but how do you feel about where they're headed?
I don't know yet, guys. I really don't. I've been doing some studying on the Jets, and, you know, with all the injuries they got right now, I think if they can go 1-2, 2-2, maybe 2-1 of the next 3 games, it's going to be their toughest game of the season with Philly, Dallas, and New England. They can get 2-1. I think the next 10 games is pretty winnable if they can get everybody back healthy. I think they got a chance. They play hard every week, but Sam got to come back and create some offense for this team. I mean, we scored 3 points in the last 2 games, and that's just not enough. You know, guys seem to be playing hard, but it's just not getting it done right now. So I'm a little optimistic about the remaining games, but they got to get healthy and they got to put up some points in the next 3 games to give us any confidence that they can play the next 10, 13 games.
And Victor, Jamal Adams, you know, is a safety that's obviously, you know, burst onto the scene. They're very high on him. He's a heck of a player. Wanted to get your thoughts on him and in particular the roughing the quarterback hit and the fine that he got last week for the hit on Baker Mayfield. What do you think about Adams and what do you think about the hit?
Well, you know, I love Adam. I love his tenacity. I love his energy. I love the way he plays. He plays hard every game, but he just cannot get that Antonio Bryant mentality. You know, you gotta play smart football. You can't be a detriment to the team. You know, I think you got 2 personal fouls back to back. You know, you can't have that. So that negate, you know, interception he may have or fumble they may cause or whatever. You just can't have those type of plays. He gotta be smarter than that. I know he didn't mean to go in. Hopefully he didn't to get into cheap shots, but he got to understand, you know, he's the glue to hold that team together right now defensively, him and Mosley, and they need him out on the football field. And he's making those type of, you know, unnecessary hits. You know, he get ejected and miss a game. You know, that can hurt that defense.
Victor, you mentioned Antonio Brown, and Bob and I were talking about him a moment ago. As a former defensive guy, when you see what's gone on with Antonio Brown, you see guys like Odell Beckham wearing a $200,000 watch, you know, during a game. And we talked about this a little bit with Greg Lloyd last week, and he pointed out how guys like that are, you know, sort of drawing attention to themselves and they're not about team. How do you feel about when you hear some of these stories about Brown and Beckham and guys like that?
Idiots. I mean, you know, I mean, that's harsh, but it's the idiots, man. I mean, you know, wearing a $200,000 watch. Why? Right? You get it ripped off. You lose diamonds in it. Somebody pull it off like Talib did, or you know, Crabtree, 2 years ago. I mean, it just, there's no need to have a $200,000 watch, you know, and in AB case, I mean, you know, the NFL don't need him. He needs the NFL. So those type of antics and things that he's been doing is pretty much since he left Pittsburgh or while he at Pittsburgh, you know, he's just hurting himself. You know, he said, hey, I'm retired. Okay. Okay. I mean, you know, who are you hurting? I mean, I'm not turning on the TV just to watch you play, right? The team's not, you know, not want to give you $10 million a year, you know, just so you can, you know, you can act a fool. So, you know, he got to be smarter than that. He got to have people in his corner that really care about him as a human being and not just be, you know, a passenger rider and say, hey, man, cut that crap out, man. You know, this is, you know, like you said, this is a privilege to play in the NFL. You know, we don't need you. You need us, right? And to represent that shield, you know, is special. And he's not doing that, man. It's me. I. And it's just not going to fly in the NFL. And you see that now. Team's not picking him up.
Bob, questions for Victor?
Yeah, Victor, it's great to speak with you as always. And I think we talked in the past about when you came into the league with the Jets, Pete Carroll was your defensive coordinator. He was only there the 1 year you were there before he left. But Pete Carroll's still going strong, Victor, and I just wanted to get your opinion of him as a coach. A lot of us, well, not myself, but a lot of people, I think of him as just a rah-rah guy. Was he a teacher and an X and an O guy, too?
He was, man. I like Pete Carroll. And actually, I was there a couple of years. He was my head coach as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I love Pete. He was a player coach, and I think you can see that. I think that's why he had so much success at USC. You know, and he was an excellent those guys. He was a technician in terms of back then the secondary, because he was with the defensive backs as well. So, you know, I loved him. It was a bad rap that I think he didn't get a chance. I mean, we went 9-7 his first year as a head coach, you know, after coming off 3-13 and 1-15. So, you know, so that was a step up to me, right? And then they fired. So, I like him. I think he's, I mean, he's shown what he's done in Seattle right now. I mean, Super Bowls, you know, multiple Super Bowls and NFC championships. So, I mean, you can't question the guy and what he's done over his career since he left the Jets. So, you know, I have great admiration and respect for him.
I said in the opening, Victor, I'm shocked that with your career, especially while you were at the Jets, you weren't elected to a Pro Bowl. But I do like to bring up some of your teammates. A guy like Aaron Glenn, to me, he's another guy that he made Pro Bowls, Victor, but he was kind of underrated. I mean, if you ask people now about Aaron Glenn, they'll get it mixed up with like a lot of guys named Glenn who played in this league. But this is a guy, 41 picks during his career, not a big guy. Tell us more about him as a teammate. He was a special guy.
Man, Aaron Glenn in his days was probably the top 2 or 3 corners in the game. I mean, that's not blowing smoke because he's my teammate. I mean, Aaron was a shutdown corner. I mean, he was small, but he was feisty. You know, he was fast. He was quick as lightning. And, you know, he studied. I mean, he was a student of the game. I mean, we in the film room, you know, every week, multiple times a day, you know, just studying film. And, you know, if he was, you know, Marcus Coleman size, I mean, he would be in the Hall of Fame right now. But, you know, Aaron Glenn didn't get a lot of the credit he deserved. I mean, we didn't have the media as they have it now, the social media. If we had that there, we got a lot more exposure. But Aaron Glenn was a real deal. And, you know, I'll put him up to a lot of these corners even today. Aaron Glenn just as good as any of them.
Victor, I want to get your thoughts on, you know, we touched on AB a minute ago and just more about the player mentality today, because we saw AB force his way out of Pittsburgh. We saw Minka Fitzpatrick force his way out of Miami. We see Jalen Ramsey now trying to, you know, force his way out of Jacksonville. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the league when we start seeing players, you know, I'm not going to play, I want out, that sort of thing, and forcing sort of, you know, circumventing the free agency system and deciding they don't want to play for the team they're currently on?
You know, I think it's a bad time, you know, a bad thing for these guys. It's just like monkey see, monkey do, right? And you keep doing this, and you got a lot of young guys in this league. This league, you know, now is a young man game. And when you see a first-year, second-year guy, then you see a Fitzpatrick or a Ramsey say, hey, I don't want to be here. Now this guy got clout talking about their first or second year. Now he's in the third or fourth year. Hey, I want to leave because I ain't happy. You know, you ain't giving me my money. Or I don't like my defensive coordinator. I don't like my head coach. Trade me, right? So I think they open up a can of worms that I don't think the league gonna be able to, you know, stop unless they, you know, they put some rules in place and you know, the next CBA and you know, and allow these. I don't know how you stop it. I don't think that you can, but you know, it's not good for those guys. And I think teams, you know, shouldn't just trade for these type of cancers. You know, no pun intended. But when you get bad apples, man, you know, and you go to another, you know, some good crop, man, it's just gonna spoil the bunch. I mean, you know, just like AB, right? You go to a team, you're the best player on the team, just about. Now you go to a team, another cancer. Now, you know, you do the same thing, right? And it's just not gonna stop, man. And so the team's got to step up and say, "Know what? We're not gonna trade for you." Right, that's where you're gonna see a stoppage of that situation happen, when the team step up and do it, because it's like, you know what you did to me, you know, you're gonna do it here too, and you know, so somebody got to step up and do that, and if they don't, you're gonna see more of the same.
And Victor, to that end, right, if you were still playing and a guy, one of those guys, whether it's an AB or a Fitzpatrick or a Ramsey or whatnot, and, you know, you come in one day and the next thing you know, they got traded to your team. Do you, as a leader on that team, do you pull those guys aside and say, "Hey, look, I don't know what happened in Jacksonville. I don't know what happened in Pittsburgh. I don't know what happened in Miami, but we don't have that here. We're not going to do that here. This is how we do things." Do you have to step, you and the captains of the team got to step up and pull that guy aside and let him know how it's going to be, you know, within your locker room?
Absolutely. And I guarantee you that's what happened in New England. You know, that's why, you know, they can plug in guys. They lost two left tackles. They lose a running back. They lose, you know, it don't matter. They have a culture there. All right. And when you got Tom Brady, you have guys like myself, you have Mo Lewis and Marvin Jones. Hey, we're going to have a conversation with you. Hey, man, this is the way we do things here. And, you know, we don't want you coming here disrupting our flow. And most time when guys come to a veteran team, you know, they understand and they can conform to the way things are. But a lot of times these teams now are so much, you know, younger, right? And they got, you know, these guys are doing the same thing. They're about the same thing. So, you know, if that guy Ramsey, you know, who's pretty established, go to Cleveland, you know, who's on Cleveland going to say something to him, right? Or, you know, so it's like, it depends on where they go. I think if he go to, you know, think about AB. AB really was, you know, pretty civil in New England. You really didn't hear anything about him, you know, the couple of weeks he was there, right? Because, you know, guys took him on the thing and say, took him on his belt. But he had some conversations, you know, with guys like Tom Brady. So, you know, when you get a veteran guy like Ramsey, you know, come to maybe the Jets, you know, you may have Adam, you may have Mosley, but they young guys too. And they friends for the most part, right? So do they want to rattle that friendship? So it just depends, man. It's a different time from when we play and the way things are now. You know, the league has changed. I mean, it changed so much, man. And, you know, you may have some guys on a veteran team that may say something, but, you know, in my days, we definitely would say something to a guy like that they're coming over, for sure.
So, Victor, a couple more before we let you go. And one of the things I got to point out, for our listeners who don't follow Victor on social media, you got to do it. Because as a guy, I'm 54 years old. I look at Victor, 49, almost 50. You got a couple of more months to go before you're 50. But, Victor, you look better now than when you were playing in the league. You look like you could still suit up and go out there and put the 21 on and still play. Kudos to you.
Yeah, look can be deceiving though, man. I got ice on my knees right now. But I literally got ice on my knees right now, man. So, but I do, I train kids and, you know, I try to help them out. My son, he's a senior in non-high school, committed to UNC. So I just had practice today, man. So I just, I try to help out where I can, and I train some people at the gym. So with that, you know, I always been the type that loved to work out. I stayed in the gym, and it just still a part of my regimen now. So I appreciate the compliment, and you know, I don't think I can come back for a paycheck right now though.
Hey, Victor, you're doing great things with your foundation. Talk about all the great things the Victor Green Foundation is doing.
Yeah, man. You know, we got a tournament October 1st in New York at Glenhead Country Club, and this year we're trying to send 120 kids from Freeport, New York to a chorale, underprivileged kids that love singing, man. And they're going to be singing at the national anthem and God Bless America at the tournament. And they travel around during different, and they actually perform at the Jets game before. So they perform at different places. So they're going into, Indianapolis to perform, and they need like $10,000 for tickets. And then they, supposed to raise $600 a person, a kid rather. So this year the foundation is supporting as much as we can to help send them to Indianapolis, man. But we, you know, the Victor Green Foundation is, we just try to create opportunities for underserved kids and try to help them see outside of their circumstance. So, you know, they get locked in to where they are. And don't think that they can leave where they are, man. But we try to take them out that box so they can see a bigger picture, and hopefully they can dream a little bigger.
And Victor, I can't let you go without asking about your golf game, because I've seen some video of your golf swing. Look pretty solid, my friend.
Man, I shot a 68, man. I shot a 68 a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
I'm down to a low single digit. So golf game is pretty steady. If I shoot, you know, 82, that's a bad day for me, you know, so I usually don't go below that. So hopefully I try to stay in the high to mid 70s. I kind of like, but I can go low if I'm putting well that day.
Wow. I got to get you on the golf side, get you on the golf show and talk a little golf swing with you, my friend. Unbelievable. Good for you.
Yeah, I can play a little bit, man. My short game is really good. My chipping is where it saves me. My driver, I'm pretty steady there. I mean, 10, 11 fairways most times, you know. I mean, I'm probably 8-10 fair, greens. But my short game, I can pretty much get up and down, you know, 80, I say 70% of the time. If I'm putting well, I'm gonna get up and down. I feel pretty confident about that.
Yeah, that's where it's all at, my friend. Yeah. Anyway, on the golf side, that's what all the top instructors, short game, short game, short game. My good friend Tom Patry talking all about the short game. So, yeah, that's where it's won and lost. So, good for you. Again, Victor, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach our foundation at victorgreenfoundation.org. You can, you know, donate there. Twitter, VictorGreen21. Facebook, Victor Green, and BG Foundation for Instagram. So I want to say, guys, I appreciate you guys too, man. You guys do a great job, and, you know, getting information out there to the fans and having some solid people like myself on every week in and week out. Keep doing what you guys are doing, man. Big respect to you guys.
We appreciate you very much, Victor. Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up again soon.
Oh, man, much love, though. Take care.
Good night.
See you, Victor. That's a great Victor Green. And Bob, I'm telling you, and I'm sure you agree with this, there's not a better safety maybe in the history of the NFL than Victor Green. It's been a head scratcher. And you mentioned this at the top of the show, how that guy was never in a Pro Bowl doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, he's on the Jets all-time team, for crying out loud. He's the standard by which all Jets safeties are measured. And obviously a tremendous guy and a tremendous golfer on top of all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Chris never really missed a game in New York either. He was just so solid, and you saw you heard his candidness. And all I'm thinking when I'm hearing Victor speak is, I said he'd get along very well with a guy like Greg Lloyd. I wish they played on the same defense. Can you imagine?
Right.
A lot of fun talking to Victor. Great guy, Chris. Great guy.
Yes, he is. Look forward to catching up soon. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony on the other side of this real quick station break.